I'll be reading from Mark 1, verses 14, 15. After John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news."
Good morning. Anybody else have car trouble this last week? A few of us. A lot of them are the same thing. I went to HEB and then my car wouldn't start. And I expected it would be the $5 solution. Stick the battery on a charger. I prepared myself for the $150 solution. Buy a new battery. But no. It was the $450 solution. Replace the alternator. And I guess we could have sharing time if we want to hear what everybody else had. I do know some got off easier than me. But I mention all of that because we've been talking about this thing about the need to change our minds. The need to have our minds renewed. And I'm wondering if you're expecting the solution is going to cost you $5, $150, or $450. What are you expecting? Now, if you've been here, you know we talk from Romans chapter 1 that at some point we all turn our backs on God. And when we do turn our backs on God, there are far-reaching consequences. And we focused especially on the consequences to our minds. Our minds don't work well spiritually anymore. Romans 1 says they become futile. Our hearts are darkened. We get kind of deluded in our thinking. And I've really emphasized that maybe more than you expected because I really want us to feel the need to have our minds renewed. And if I'm going to ask you to pay $450, you're going to have to feel the need. And so today we want to start talking about how our minds are renewed. And I think this will be a little more positive, but it may not feel positive because you're going to have to fork out $450 or the equivalent thereof. I think the beginning of the renewal of our minds is repentance. The beginning of the renewal of our minds is repentance. You may know that the word repent means to change the mind. And I think that's the beginning. Now, to hear that may sound a little abrasive to our postmodern ears. You know, just accept me like I am. Don't try to change me. Don't judge me. I'm sure you have friends who have said things like that. But the Bible actually says we do need to repent. And I know that repentance has been overdone sometimes. I know the whole idea has been badly done sometimes. I think of the guys you see carrying the ugly, hateful signboards screaming at people, "Repent, repent." And it really leaves a bad taste in our minds. So we're up against some trouble with all of that. But if we just let God speak, you know what God's going to say? He's going to say we need to repent. And so I want us to try to listen to this, starting with a need. The beginning place for the renewal of our minds is repentance. Did you know this is in the Bible? Acts 17:30. God now commands everyone everywhere to repent. That's in the Bible. God commands everyone everywhere to repent. Hebrews 6 suggests that repentance is one of the basic teachings of Christianity. And we got to be careful. You have to be careful in every culture, but in our postmodern culture, we got to be careful not to just push away anything that's challenging or threatening to us and listen to what God says if we want our minds to be renewed. And I want us to start with Jesus. And this may surprise you, but Jesus called people to repent more than anyone else in Scripture. When we think about Jesus, we think about love and we think about grace. And Jesus showed tremendous love and he showed tremendous grace. But as John reminds us, John 1:14, that we, I think it's 14, we have seen his glory from the Father, full of grace and truth. And a lot of times we're real attracted to the grace part of that, not so much the truth part of it. But the truth is, part of the truth is, that we need to repent. And so in the passage that Woody read in Mark chapter 1, we have a summary of the teaching of Jesus. And the summary of the teaching of Jesus is that the time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Repentance made the summary of Jesus' message. And it made it in Matthew 2, where a summary of his teaching is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance was a part of the message of Jesus. Now look with me at Luke chapter 13. This is a good example of Jesus teaching about repentance. Kind of like happens sometimes today, some people came up and pointed out to Jesus the news headlines. In Luke 13 verse 1. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Now if you don't get that, what that means is there's some Galileans that went to offer sacrifice and Pilate, the Roman governor, said, hey, I think I'll offer your blood and sacrifice too, and kill them. And the people come up to Jesus and point that out to Jesus. And I don't know what they're thinking or what they're expecting, but Jesus says, do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this way? Do y'all want to have a theological discussion about this issue? Well, Jesus isn't going to allow it. Jesus says, no, they're not worse sinners. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Jesus had a way of saying, let's don't talk theory, let's talk about your life, my life. Let's talk about your need to repent. And then Jesus brings up another example. Are those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Jesus taught repentance, and he taught that if we didn't repent, we would perish. That's pretty serious stuff. You may remember, I didn't list all the passages here, they're on your note sheet, but he said the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment and condemn this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and something greater than Jonah is here, and you're not repenting, is the implication. In another passage recorded in Matthew and Luke, Jesus began to denounce the cities where he had done most of his work because they refused to repent. You know, we talk sometimes about the marvel and the wonder of God coming to the earth and doing things on the earth and doing these mighty miracles. And he did do that, and it is marvelous, but it's supposed to make us repent. And Jesus was shocked or saddened or something that those people didn't repent. But some people did. And so in Luke 15, we've got the other side. And that is that there is joy in heaven when someone does repent. It's like a woman that lost a coin and found it, and she rejoices. Or somebody that lost a sheep and found it and rejoices because somebody has repented. The Lord doesn't want anyone to perish, 2 Peter says, but for everybody to come to repentance. And Jesus talked about that a lot. Talked about grace, but he also talked about truths like the need to repent. He also commissioned his disciples to call others to repent. In Mark 6, he sent them out to preach and to cast out demons, and it says they preached that people should repent. At the end of his time on earth, in Luke's account of the Great Commission, he says that the Son of Man had to suffer and rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations. Y'all are supposed to go out and preach that. And if you read Acts, sure enough they did. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent so that your sins might be wiped out and times of refreshing might come from the Lord. Repent of this wickedness and pray that the Lord will forgive you. They preach that over and over again. Paul summarizes his message in Acts as a message of faith in God and repentance. That's the message he preached as he summarizes it in the book of Acts. And so not only did Jesus preach it, but he sent his disciples to preach it, and both of them preached that repentance is necessary for forgiveness and salvation. It's not just something you got to do. It's something you've got to do if you want your sins to be forgiven, if you want to be saved. Repentance for forgiveness of sins is to be preached in the name of Jesus. And sure enough, that is the way that they preached it. And so there's a pretty big, pretty strong emphasis on it. And most of these verses are talking about people that have never really turned to God. They need to turn to God. But Jesus also preached that his own followers would need to repent. Did you know Jesus said, if your brother or sister sins, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. Jesus taught that. Have you ever done that? Jesus taught that if your brother or sister sins, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Have you ever done that? It's a teaching of Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean get in their face and wag your finger at them. That needs to be done in a humble and loving way, but it does need to be done, and it's almost shocking to hear that in the way our culture is. Don't judge me, don't judge me. But he said, yeah, my followers are going to need to repent, and you're going to need to help each other with that. And then, sure enough, the church followed Jesus' lead. The Corinthians had so many problems. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and basically said, you need to repent of not asking these other people to repent. There were some people that were into some really bad stuff, and they just kind of tolerated it. It's okay. Kind of proud of their tolerance, apparently. Paul says, you need to repent of that, as well as him needing to repent. And so that you find that just all over the New Testament. Now, I know I spent a long time on that, but I'm telling you, there's a big need to repent. And if we want our minds to be renewed, the first step is to change the mind. But maybe we'll understand the big emphasis on repentance better if we understand the meaning of repentance. What's the meaning of repentance? It's not just trying to break a bad habit. It's not just trying to do better. It's not trying to ease into going back to church. Repentance is a comprehensive change of the entire person from the inside out. Starts inside and then works its way out, and it is comprehensive. And the way I know that is from the meaning of the word mind, to change the mind. Remember, the mind is a part of our inner person. And you can define it biblically from the Hebrews point of view as changing our purpose, changing our disposition, changing our intention, changing our will, changing our moral attitude. There's a writer, some of you know, Kyle Idleman, wrote a book called Not a Fan that said being a Christian shouldn't be like being a sports fan. And I get his point. It's not about filling up the stadium, okay? But I want to flip that around and say some of us are pretty rabid fans. Did your team win yesterday? And did you tell anybody? You know, that's usually really, really important to us. We cheer for our team. We're devoted to our team. We do everything we can to watch our team. Our team determines the way we dress. Our team determines our schedule. Sometimes it determines our church activities or lack thereof, because we're so rabid about our teams. Let me ask you, would you be open to stop cheering for your team and instead cheer for the team they played yesterday? Would you be open to that? I hear Texas didn't play yesterday, you know. But would you trade the Spurs in for the Lakers? Would you make a change like that? I'm thinking repentance is a lot like that kind of change. Not just like, I changed my mind, but a whole change of orientation. Casey can tell you, elaborate on this, but Casey recently put his favorite sports team on probation, Tennessee Volunteers. Not because he thought he was too rabid of a fan, but because he thought they were too terrible. And he's tired of feeling bummed out all the time. So we put him on 2 years probation. And in the meantime, he's going to be an Aggie. I thought sure I'd hear a noise there. He's going to be an Aggie. And you know why he chose the Aggies? Because he knew the Aggies were playing Arkansas yesterday. No, it's really because his wife. So he made that swap for 2 years because his team's so bad. And what I'm thinking as we think about what repentance is maybe we ought to take a look at how our team, our spiritual team, our selfishness, our pride, our sin, the devil is making us feel, and maybe we ought to reject him, not for 2 years, but permanently, and turn to the right team. I'm thinking repentance is that big of a change, and really even bigger. And so when we repent, we turn away from sin, we turn away from self-centeredness, and we turn to God. And it is comprehensive. It changes everything about our lives. And that genuine inward change always leads to a change of actions. John the Baptist said, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Let's see some evidence. Let's see it on the outside if you really have changed within. Paul preached in Acts chapter 26 and said, this is the summary, I preach that they should repent, turn to God, and prove their repentance by their deeds. It is a comprehensive change that begins inside and changes our lives. Sorrow may be there. Sorrow is not the essence. But if you realize you've been going against God, there may be sorrow that leads to this kind of change. And what I'm thinking today is that in view of the strong emphasis on repentance in the scriptures, we really should not water down its meaning. Sometimes for us, Christianity is a matter of, okay, I'm going to try to do better, or I'm going to ease into this thing. You know, I'm not going to get all excited or anything. I just don't think that rings true with the call to repent. Don't worry. It's going to be a process no matter how you do it. But I think there's a little bit more of a comprehensive change that's envisioned by repentance. Now, that leads to the last thing. How do we do that? How do we repent? Well, the repeated calls for repentance in Scripture show that we can choose to do so. I mean, Jesus says, repent, which makes me think we can do that. It's possible for us to change our direction and orientation. But we do need to remember that God is involved in our repenting too. It's not just us. There's a great theological debate that if you have insomnia, I'll tell you about this sometime. But some people think, no, it's all the work of God. And some people think, no, it's all the work of man. And I think it's in the middle of that. We do have a role to play, but we don't do it apart from God. And if that's not clear to you, because our orientation has been a little more to the side of, I can do this, let me just point out some scriptures that show God's work in repentance. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. His message wasn't just repent. It's that God has come into the world and He's set up a kingdom. He's reached out to us. Repent and believe the good news. Or two verses in Acts, I mean, it's pretty bluntly says that Jesus grants repentance. Or God grants repentance. You may need to look those up in a more literal version. The NIV kind of softens that a little bit, but that's in Scripture. Romans 2 said, God's kindness leads us to repentance. You're not getting away with anything. God's being merciful and kind in hopes that we will repent. And in 2 Timothy 2, Timothy is told, if people oppose you, gently instruct them in hopes that God will grant them repentance. God is involved in this, but we do have a choice to make. Now, I'm describing this ginormous change that repentance is. Question, do you think what God has done is big enough to warrant that kind of change? Because it's not just go do all of that on your own, but in response to what God has done, make this enormous change. Do you think what God has done warrants that? And if you do, you'll repent and repent genuinely. I gave you some verses in your notes you can look up. I just feel the need to say the time is limited to repent. That really is true. And yeah, it's partly because Jesus could come back at any time, but it's also because our hearts get dull. They cannot tolerate constant hardening, and you can lose your chance. So I'd encourage you to look at that. Now, I think our church would be so much healthier if we listened to this. I think church would be better. I think worship would be better. I think our individual lives would be better. I think our attitudes would be better. I think a lot of stuff would be better if we genuinely repented. But the reason I'm saying it today is we want to have our minds renewed. And the beginning point for the renewal of our minds is to repent. And we'll build on that next Sunday. If you want to talk to somebody about it or pray with somebody or talk or pray about anything going on with you, we'll have shepherds and their wives at the back. Let's stand and sing.